Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, in studio with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mike.
It's good to see you, Will. This is another episode of our kind of faith and ethics show with Dr. Anthony Caruso and Dr. Kimberly Henkel, who Kimberly's here in studio with us. Tony's on the phone with us again. And today we have probably a very sensitive issue, one of the more sensitive issues that we've discussed in a long time period, and that is the phenomenon of transgenderism.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing in the media and the news today with, you know, the controversy over several laws that have been passed, the way certain people are responding to these issues with regards to, you know, public restrooms and a number of different things. And we want to look at this not from the perspective of, you know, do we have an opinion about this or not, but necessarily what is the Catholic Church's teachings with regards to this matter, and how should we as faithful Catholics, and especially Catholics in the healthcare profession, address these issues?
Right, because these are issues that you and me and Tony have dealt with some patients that we've encountered.
Sure.
And the fact of the matter is, we'll continue to encounter folks who identify themselves as transgender, and we want to be compassionate. We want to be understanding, but we also want to adhere to the truth, and we want to underscore the truth of sexuality, the dignity of the human person, and the fact that we are male and female. You know, it's very biblical. Genesis says he made them male and female, and that's something that has been that way since time immemorial.
So. Right, right. Well, it is a deep topic, and we've got a lot to talk about. So let's welcome our guests in, Dr. Anthony Caruso from Chicago. Welcome to the Catholic Doctor Show, and Dr. Kimberly Henkel in studio with us. Welcome to the Catholic Doctor Show.
Thank you,
Tony. You first.
Okay.
Do we know? Do we have an incidence number or a prevalence number of those people who consider themselves to have what we call gender identification issues?
It's really so hard to quantify, Mike, because, you know, it comes at all different senses of levels of people whose identity as a person, identity as gender, and then there's that whole level, another level of the continuum of actually acting on it.
Right.
So it's so hard to really say how many they are. You know what I mean?
Right. And in my research, you know, that I was doing for the show, what I found is that we don't necessarily have a good cause for this type of feeling that people have of being trapped in a woman being trapped in a man's body, or a man being trapped in a woman's body, if I get that correct. I'm probably going to screw that up several times during the show.
Yeah.
But we don't necessarily have a good cause, so we don't necessarily have good treatments for these issues.
No, but you see that DSM-5 has already come out, and in the DSM-5, this is actually seen as a psychological disorder.
Okay.
Right, and when you come up with a diagnosis that gets into the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistics Manual, which is the Bible for psychiatry and psychology, you have a diagnosis, so you have to have a cure, or you have to have a treatment. And
right.
and so they put this in there as a disease that needed a cure.
Right.
And so the cure in modern times, in these times we live in, is in some way to alter the body, to change men from men to women and women to men, either by surgical means and hormonal means, or, you know, some continuum along some part of that along the path.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's really a very this has been a more of a recent thing, because I can't remember half a generation ago when we were all in school basically rotating on psychiatry or having a psychiatry practice that we knew that was seeing a significant number of gender confused people in it trying to find their way in taking hormones.
No, that's not a phenomenon that I encountered as a medical student or as an intern or resident at all. You know, certainly there are people that may have been confused about their identity, but I don't believe that they were as numerous as it seems like they are today. You know, with this being in the public eye, it's almost like which is the notoriety causing more people to come out of the woodwork, or is it people coming out of the woodwork actually making more news? I don't know.
I find it very hard to believe the former. I find it very hard to believe that people are shining a light in this, and then people who have been living in the shadows are now coming out, and we're dealing with something that's far more prevalent than we ever thought possible. I find that so hard to believe. So 50 years ago they were just hiding under rocks and they just lived miserable lives. I don't believe that.
Yeah. I mean, they were waiting for the cure, I guess, is what they,
to play the devil's advocate,
that's what they would probably say.
I was exposed to transgenderism when I was a fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 3 to 5 people that were being cared for hormonally to try to maintain what they already done to themselves surgically. And to a person, none of them were happy.
Yeah.
And that's the key. They weren't happy. They weren't happy being the people that they were. They weren't happy. Half of them thought that they went too far. They just so it's really a situation where, and that was back when, before we really made a big deal about gender identity in anything. You see what I mean? So, and I can't just imagine now when I see YouTubes of, you know, 8-year-old girls being excited because their mom gave them their first, you know, boys getting their first estrogen to make them more. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Is there, I don't know if anybody knows this answer, but is there an age at which you all of a sudden firmly identify yourself as male or female, or can say that I am definitely male or female? I would think that would be later in life after puberty, because we are kind of androgynous up until puberty. I mean, except for our external genitalia, you know, I look like dad or I look like mom, but we don't necessarily understand what that means, do we?
No, except boys always got the fire truck.
Right.
And girls got the doll.
Right.
And they played girl games and boys played boy games and were roughhousing and all this stuff before they made any testosterone. And that was encouraged by the male members of the family, and female type of things were encouraged by the female people of the family. So when the testosterone and, you know, when puberty happened, there was a natural sort of going forward into those events. You see
right.
what I mean?
Sure.
Well,
sure.
But the thing is, though, that this concept of gender identity is really, it isn't a construct. It's the gender is a relatively new phenomenon, you know, in the last 50 or so years. This is something that, instead of saying what is your sex, you say what is your gender, you know, and so therefore this implies that somehow you get there's some subjectivity to it, that you get a choice in how you want to identify yourself. Anthropologically, that makes no sense. I mean, scientifically speaking, we know that a man is an XY generally, and females and XX.
Is it based on genetic makeup, or is it based on you know what your mind tells your body to think? So
right.
So you know, I want to ask you this, Kimberly,
right.
about that, because is, you know, as Catholics and what the Catholic Church believes, are there two ways to identify how you look at it? There's my spiritual side, or you know, when most of us think of our mind, we think of our spiritual side or our spirit side. That could be male, yet my outside is female. Or is this a unitive type of process where body and spirit are melded as one gender, one identity?
Well, this has become the big issue, I think, where at root, It's really this division we see, this dualism between the body and the soul. And this is something that's been around for 400 years since, you know, Descartes. Mm. So this split between the person thinking that myself is who I am inside, and then my body is just some exterior appendage. It's a shell that I can mold and do what I want with.
Right.
And so that brings a lot of confusion to the whole issue. And I think that the Catholic vision of the human person as a unified individual body and soul is really the antidote to this. And John Paul II's theology of the body is so critical in really addressing these issues and helping us to get a clearer picture of the human person as body and soul. The body is not something we just manipulate and use as an instrument. It's who I am. So what I do to my body is affecting what I'm doing to my soul.
But aren't these heresies about Christ, you know, and the dualism between, you know, him being God and you know, just and not necessarily man, and, you know, and all that.
Certainly.
Don't all those things kind of, I mean, they almost reflect what we as humans are screwing up here today.
Absolutely. These were the Gnostic heresies in the beginning, mm-hmm. Of Christianity, where the body was just seen as evil, material, negative, and we were seeking to escape. The goal was, with Gnosticism, to escape the body, in order to be set free. And so there's you kind of see that creeping in to this mentality that I am this sort of ethereal, you know, I'm deep inside of myself, but I'm not really, you know, one with my body.
Well, I want to kind of pose this as an open question to all the people we have here on the show today. When we talk about same-sex attraction and the Catholic Church is teaching on that. We teach on that same-sex attraction is not necessarily inherently evil.
Right.
It's the sexual actions or the homosexual actions that are inherently evil.
Right.
Correct.
But now the question becomes is a gender identity issue inherently immoral or moral? Can we make a decision on that? Or is it just considered, or should it be considered an abnormal way of thinking about self?
I would say, you know, I think that's why everyone's being very tender with this, is that the actual idea of having a gender confusion person, I think we can all sort of make, I don't know if we would think that it could potentially be or not. And that's one thing, again, making it some sort of a thing that needs to be cared for. But when they go to the next phase, that to me is a phase, and there's no other way to say it, it's a form of self-mutilation.
Correct.
And when we get to that point, there are clear constructs in the catechism against that stuff.
Well, mutilation, I mean, essentially, we look at a vasectomy or a tubal ligation. We are mutilating our bodies in order to render them sterile. So
yes.
You can confess that sin and be absolved and ostensibly not do anything about it. You know, if you don't have the means in order to reverse it, you can go through the rest of your life as a sterile individual and, you know, you've been forgiven of that sin.
Yeah, okay. Well, the cartoons about sex assignment surgery are available on YouTube. And that's if you take a look at those are much different than anything you would see about a vasectomy.
Right, but
and it's done in stages. You know, vasectomy, even tubal ligation, is one step two. I make a decision before I could change my mind; it could be done.
Right.
Sexual assignment surgery comes as multiple steps along the way. So it's almost like is it an unforgivable sin? No, there's no sin that's unforgivable. But the point is that you have to basically make a pro. At some point, you've made a sin that's compounding sin.
Right, right. Well, and you're right. I mean, there are stages to this. The thing of it is that, this is probably a gross oversimplification, but the fact is that because this is gender identity disorder is in the DSM-5, we can speak of it as a psychological disorder. So therefore, okay, I would propose that instead of saying, okay, the way that we talk about this is that, okay, if someone comes into your office, Mike, or someone comes into my office or Tony, and they say, I feel like I'm Jesus Christ, or I'm Adolf Hitler, or whatever. Okay, we know that clearly they're not Jesus Christ. We know that they're not Adolf Hitler. And so therefore, we would treat them. We would call a psychiatrist and we or a psychologist, and we'd say, okay, I'll tell you what. We need to figure out where you fit in you know, whether you're delusional or you're, you know, psychotic or whatever that might be. We need to figure that out and try to help you to deal with this, you know.
Well, and I think from the standpoint of the gender identity issue, the way they're going to respond to that is there is no psychological treatment for this.
Well, right.
And so, well, you know, so now we come back to, well, you know, well, there isn't anything yet. But well, and I'm going to ask a question of Kimberly here in a minute about that. But, you know, we started talking about whether this is a sin or not. And I guess the question comes up is, you know, are these people understanding the conditions needed for a mortal sin? And that would be full knowledge that what they're doing goes against their inherent dignity of their self, and therefore is a sin against God and his creation. And so I think we have to look at it from a spiritual perspective. And I'd like to see many more people who are in these types of situations at least have some type of spiritual counseling or spiritual direction.
Absolutely.
With these
Absolutely.
Types of things. Right. So you're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and we're talking about a very difficult topic of the transgender identity and what we're seeing in the news and the media. And Kimberly, I want to ask you, speaking of the theology of the body, is there a message within the theology of the body that Pope John Paul II the Great put forward that could be helpful to these people, or that would help them to understand their conditions or to help them to work through what they're going through?
Certainly. I believe that looking at the goal is really what Pope John Paul II spoke of he was trying to help show the complete vision of the human person and their dignity and the goal is to move towards their fulfillment, and that man can only find himself truly, man and woman can only find themselves truly as in a gift of self. So we have to look at that, you know, how do we give ourselves? And so we talk about how in Genesis, you know, God made them male and female, and within that difference, in the unity of that difference, came the fruitfulness. So that we are created in order to be fruitful and to be a gift to another. And I think that is something we need to reflect upon more, that the body is a gift, that the person is created to be a gift to another. And I think that missing piece, you know, when we've taken sexuality and we've taken away the possibility of procreation through contraception, we get this confusion. What is sexuality about? We don't even understand our sexuality anymore. And we start to think, okay, it's about my personal pleasure. It's kind of disconnected from the fruitfulness. And once we get back to understanding God's vision for our sexuality, I think we begin to understand that vision encompasses and really points to that we are meant to go beyond ourselves.
So let me see if I understand you correctly. What you're saying here is that in theology of the body, John Paul II so eloquently puts forward that we are a body that is united with our soul and spirit, and that is reflected in our sexuality as who we are as a person. Those two together help us to share ourselves with other people in an act of love that is meant to be between a husband and a wife in the act of marriage that is self-giving, okay, and total and complete, correct?
Certainly, certainly.
So that life is created or has the potential to be created.
Right, certainly.
So in this situation, how would we respond to a transgender person who says, I can't reach my full fulfillment because I feel that my body and my sexuality are not the same?
Certainly. I mean, that's very difficult. I would say that's a very difficult issue. And, you know, I like you had mentioned before, as far as you know, getting some sort of counsel for that. But I think reflecting upon this theology of the body and looking at the importance of the integrity of the person, you know, right. Once we become disintegrated, we become, you know, we start to turn against ourselves. I mean, I think about this all the time with, I don't know. It just seems that this disintegration, we need a theological vision to help bring about this reunification of the body and soul.
Certainly, of body and soul.
I mean, when I had my conversion to the Catholic faith, I suddenly understood that my body was who I am. And I think I had seen myself as sort of, well, my body is whatever, I can do whatever I want, but my soul is within me. And I think that this vision, this theological, you know, theology of the body can help us understand how we are united, body and soul, and the purpose for you know, our lives.
Well, and I think to just tie that together, no act of the body is separated from the soul.
Something
that harms the body definitely harms the soul,
yes,
or harms the spirit of the person.
Which
so
is, right.
If we can agree that you cannot necessarily separate these two things, then we would say that our natural inclination, as St. Augustine says, is we're not happy until we rest in you,
right,
is to reach our full potential as who we are, mind, body, and spirit, right, with a direction towards God, the Creator.
Now, we've talked a lot about, you know, the theory of transgenderism and things like that, but what I want to bring out is a concrete situation. Walter Heyer, who is a frequent guest on Catholic Answers, who was a man, and then he went through the surgery in order to become a woman, and now lives as a man again. He actually explains very eloquently in his story how this identity, this gender identity confusion that he went through, was really his destruction, and ultimately he realized that when he accepted who he was as an individual, as an immortal soul, that this completed him and made him more whole and more at peace.
Sure.
So he's frequently on Catholic Answers, and I would direct you to Catholic.com. If you want to read about him, you can Google him, Walter Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R. And he really is very eloquent in speaking against this idea. And one thing I also add to this is that, you know, in a lot of other ways, we talk back when Pope Benedict was in the chair, Peter, we talk about the idea of the Church of No. You know, we're always saying, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do. But really what we're affirming is the goodness in the inherent dignity of the human person.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And that's really what's most important here.
So we have just a few more minutes left in the show, and I want to go around to Tony and to Kimberly. So how do we approach somebody? How do we act or behave with somebody who identifies themselves as a transgender? Tony?
Well, I think the first thing I always have to do is you have to live the truth, and you have to live it in love.
Mm-hmm.
So while you would never condemn them,
right,
you have to basically try to understand them. And,
right,
and it's a level of understanding that seems different, because it's different than other types of aberrant type of behavior that we might want to approach.
Right.
Because we know that there's something very, very tender in this, and there's also something that's very gentle, and it's almost like a tip that if you push too far, they'll go in a direction that you don't want to do. It's almost like dealing on a hotline of some sort with them.
Sure.
And if you can just approach it with love, you're not going to necessarily change them, but at least you have a chance.
Sure. Kimberly?
Certainly. I was approached once on the streets of San Francisco by a man. He was dressed as a woman, and he told me, you know, very frantically, I don't normally dress like this. This is the first time I've ever gone out in public like this. And he was very frantic and upset, and I said, you know, I'm sorry that you're struggling. You know, I'm really sorry. And I said, can I pray with you? And he was like, yes, please. And so, you know, I mean, obviously great sensitivity and to recognize the dignity in every person.
Right.
And I think we need to sit here and further reflect upon, you know, is the body an expression of the person, which is what JP2 would say, or is it a social construct devoid of meaning? And this is something that gets to the heart of the matter. How do we understand the body?
Sure. What it comes down to is that John Paul II said this, and I'm sure you remember, that Christ reveals man to himself. So therefore, if we look to Christ, we look to his church and teachings, we're going to actually understand truth and know it.
Sure. Well, I think the difficult thing, you know, I agree with what Tony says. I agree with what Kimberly says. And I think this is something that has to be shared in charity and love and respect and with a dignity of the human person that we're dealing with. We don't know enough about it from a psychological perspective or from even a biological perspective.
Right.
There's still a lot of data that's going on.
Absolutely.
We do know that there are, you know, bad outcomes for people who stay in a transgender identity without sex changes. We know that there's bad outcomes if they have the sex changes. Having the sex changes is not necessarily the ultimate outcome, but I think we as Catholics need to approach them with charity and love and help them to understand that connection, Kimberly, that you speak of between the body and the spirit and their unitive approach.
There. And there are CatholicTherapist.com are therapists that can help you to be able to overcome this if you encounter people who are in this type of situation.
Sure.
CatholicTherapist.com.
Tony, once again, it's been great having you on. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure always. Good to always talk to you guys.
Thanks. Yep. Kimberly, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.